I bring you grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message from Colossians, from that opening section of that great letter. And as we come to this word, would you bow your hearts and heads with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for grace today. Thank you for everything you have made us to be in Christ that qualifies us to enter this room, to come to this table, to enter heaven at the end, and all because of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. There is a very vivid image that is presented for us in the book of Hebrews. Late, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, since we're surrounded by a stadium full of people cheering us on, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." And if you would conjure in your head that image, if you would fix in your mind that vision of running a race in an Olympic-sized stadium with all that crowd, and then if you would add the additional overlay of all the sounds that would accompany that vision, that you would hear your name being called out, that you would hear the crowds roaring as you race down the straightaway toward the finish line. If you would do all of that, that would be helpful today, because as we fight in this world to keep our faith and to keep going, it's that vision of a surrounding crowd cheering us on and the sounds that go with it that I want you to have in your mind and heart today. You know, we live life, frankly, many days feeling very rootless. That is to say, we feel like there are few people rooting us on in this world. We may get out of bed this morning, we may grump our way through our morning coffee or tea, our Cocoa Krispies or cream pies and puffs and whatever else you might eat on a morning to get you going, but there's no one there who's literally giving you your lunchbox on the way out the door, whether in retirement to go golfing or shopping, or whether in the midst of the hecticness of life to get to work, saying, "Yay you, keep going." And when we come home at the end of the day, probably many of us, generally speaking, on a day-over-day basis, do not have people who say, "Yay, good for you. You drove home so successfully from work. Look at you. You golfed well in retirement. Whatever you do in retirement, you did great." Today, I'd like to start out a little kitschy with some shtick. That's somewhat of a Chicago Yiddish thing. It occurs to me that many of us don't have those experiences of applause and ovations. And I thought, if it's okay with you, that we could start out today by cheering each other on a little bit. Some of you might be saying, "Oh goodness, Seidler, what are you going to do right now?" Just relax, okay? There's a winter storm coming. We've got hours together. It's fine. It's fine. Would you join me in applauding everyone who came to church? Oh, wait, I'm so sorry, so sorry, so sorry. We've got to practice as Lutherans. Can you just, let's practice applauding. Get our hands moving. Okay, good. You've got this down. Would you join me now in applauding everyone who came to church today? Let's just give a round of applause. Thank you. You know, we always are hearing this time of year and this season of church that church attendance is declining, and so I just don't want to take it for granted that you're here today. I mean, there's a million reasons why you might not want to be here today, and yet you're here, and for that you should hear the applause of the great cloud of witnesses that are around you and as well of your Father who art in heaven. He applauds you today for being here to listen to his word, to have his meal, to be reminded that there is someone more beyond that has a significant investment in your life, significant because he sent his son to die for you and to cover over all of your sins. And that's why it's important to be in church. And therefore, it's important every single time we come into church, or do something for the sake of the gospel or contend for the faith to hear the applause of heaven. And you, as the church of Jesus, ought to be applauding one another when you come to church. How about a clap of encouragement for everyone who has paid attention to the sermon so far? I want to applaud you for listening to the sermon thus far. Because the fact is that social convention in us is so thick that sometimes we can just come to church because that's what we've always done for years and years and years, and it would just feel weird on Sunday morning if we didn't start out with coming to church. But there's more than just coming to church, there's also paying attention. And I want to say thank you for listening, if not to my words, then to the words of the songs that Jim Marriott leads us in singing and praying and praising and by which we give thanks to God. I want to not take that for granted any longer, and I want you to hear an ovation from each other, from heaven, for that. There are people today in this congregation who last year in 2017 said goodbye to someone they loved deeply, and some maybe to multiple people that they loved deeply, and yet you are still here worshiping today, confident that God is drawing you closer to a heavenly reunion. You have fought through that grief. And you are in this room today, and I want to say thank you for being here today. Because to worship in the absence of someone you love, and maybe someone who has brought you to the faith in the first place, that's a big deal. In some ways, you're going solo in this world now, more than you were before, and yet you are never alone. God's Spirit lives in you. His presence goes with you. The faith of Jesus is in your heart and in your mouth. And I want to say thanks for carrying on and continuing to hold up the cross, even in the absence of loved ones that passed in the years before. There are some here today who lost a job last year and who found one, thank God. There are some here today who lost a job last year and are still looking for a job this year. I want to say thanks for being here. Because, you know, there are times when things happen and all of a sudden our world gets turned upside down and we look to heaven and we say, God, where are you? And yet your being here says today, I trust that he's still with me. And if you're still looking and waiting for that job to come and you're still here today, it says, you know what? In spite of my circumstances, I still believe that God will never fail. And today, I want you to hear the applause of those around you. It may be shticky and kitschy, I get that, but it's significant for the body of Christ to speak such an applause and ovation into those who are hearing. Last one. For some here today, your family is in the fight for its life. You are fighting to save your marriage. You are fighting to save your children. You are fighting to bring your grandchildren along in the faith that you gave to your children in the first place. And it has not been an easy fight, and the battle has gone longer than you want it to go. And if you are part of that crew that I mentioned, I want you to hear applause today. And I want you to hear these applause as representative of God saying to you, keep going. Don't stop fighting. Know that the heart, your heart that I hold in my hands and I tend to, is also the heart of your son, your daughter, your grandson, your granddaughter, your wife, your husband, that I am looking to turn and to change and to sculpt and mold. And all of that because I want them to know the mercy of Jesus and the unconditional love that brought him from heaven to earth to bear the sins of the world. It might have been a little kitschy, but I did this for a reason. I did this today because it is essential for a human soul to receive the affirmation of God. To know that when we are pursuing God and repenting of our sins and turning back to God, that God in heaven says yes to us and cheers us on. And if truth be told, we go through too many days where we are just plodding through the trenches of life and we don't get enough applause for what the Spirit of God is accomplishing in and through and with us. And so I want you to hear that today. You know, theologians over the years have used the phrase prome, P-R-O-M-E, prome, to describe this affirmation, this heavenly ovation that comes to a human soul day in and day out. God is prome, he is for me. And we know from that verse in Romans, if God is for me, who can possibly stand against me? Is there any condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? The answer is no. There's only affirmation. Affirmation from God, because God, who has begun a good work in you, will carry it on to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. And so as we come to this beginning of the new year, I want you to hear that affirmation today. I want you to hear that affirmation not only in that phrase prome, not only in that little activity of applauding. I also want you to hear that affirmation in the letter that Paul writes to the Colossians. Look with me at that letter, because in that letter, as with so many of Paul's letters, he will certainly challenge and critique and judge and bear judgment, and reprimand, and warn, and swat on the rear end a little bit and say, hey, get going here. Come on now. You're the body of Christ. You're believers in Jesus. Let's live like you are. He'll do all of those things as he will do in all of his other letters. But here's the great thing, is that Paul never starts a letter without celebrating and affirming, applauding and giving encouragement for what is already true, for what is already in play and on the ground in those lands to which he writes, among the people for whom he cares so much. The letter of the Colossians begins in this way. Colossians begins with Paul giving thanks and sharing with the Christians in Colossae the prayers for them that are on his heart. Essentially, what Paul is doing in the opening of this letter, along with all the other letters, is to give and demonstrate divine applause for them. Oh, make sure you realize there are always things among sinful human beings that need to be judged and corrected, changed and repented of. Yes, that's always true, but never forget that where Christ has come to take up residence, there are great things to rejoice about. No matter how young or how old you are, whether by way of age or how young or old you are in the maturity of your faith, when Christ is resident in your heart, there are always things to give thanks and praise to God for, and to celebrate even more so through prayer. Just look with me there on your bulletin, page 4. Paul talks about the faith, the love, and the hope that God has reserved and given to them. And that hope and faith and love has come through the good news. These three great heavenly attributes, faith, hope, and love, are active in them. And I should say, by extension, brothers and sisters in Christ at Concordia, they are active in you. You may feel like your faith has been hanging on by a thread over the past year, but I tell you, that faith is still as precious in the sight of God today as it was when it was given birth in your soul, at your baptism, or when you confessed Christ as Savior and Lord. Your faith is precious to God, and no matter how weak it may feel to you, God says, keep going. Keep going. You may feel like your life is consumed with just getting by day, and the love and the mission and the service that you give to others is minimal. But remember, even when you just give a cup of water to the least of Christ's brothers, when you do the smallest thing, your love, that small token of love, is evidence of a great work of God that is at work in you. And God says, take joy in that service and keep going. And when you look forward and you think about heaven, and because of what you see regarding faith in the church in this world causes you to wonder about this security and the certainty of eternal life after physical death, God says, believe. Keep the flame of hope alive. And as you cling to that hope, God says, great job. Keep fighting, keep going. Paul gives thanks that the good news has come to them, and this good news is spreading like wildfire through the world, that it's bearing fruit, that their lives are different today, even if they don't realize their lives are different. Even though the world only seems to be changing in a negative direction, God still says to you, your life, because of my spirit that lives in you, is still changing for the better. Trust that and keep fighting. It's God's way of giving you applause from heaven and reminding you that in spite of our sinful evaluation, our corrupted and compromised evaluation of our life, God says, nope, these are the things that are true of you. And then finally, he says, and this is what I pray for. And actually, I've never stopped praying for you. One of the most important things you can say to a human soul is that I am praying for you. And then, as Paul does here, to be very specific about what that prayer is. I try, not as a pastor, but as a Christian, that whenever I tell someone I'm going to pray for you, I try as best I can always to remember to add, and this specifically is what God is inviting me to pray for you right now. So they know it's not just some one-off, hey, I'm praying for you, but it is a very particular, passionate prayer for some particular need that I'm identifying in them. This Thanksgiving, this prayer that Paul prays and gives thanks, is all tethered finally and ultimately to history. That last paragraph of Colossians chapter 1, we pray all of this that you may be and have endurance and patience, you may be filled with joy. Why is this? Last sentence, because he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. He has transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom, forgave our sins. That historical moment is true. It's on the videotape, it happened, and therefore, all of my prayers, all of my gratitude, are not just pie in the sky, not some literary convention, what you do at the beginning of a Roman letter. It's not just something to get your attention or to heap on you some kind of vain flattery. No, everything I am doing is the natural outcome of history. If Jesus really rescued us and transferred us by his death and resurrection into the kingdom, if he's done all of that, then I have much to be thankful for, because this is not just made up stuff. This is stuff that actually is happening in your heart right now at this very moment. These are things that God is doing from heaven in this world right now, in this room, right now. Not made up. And Paul wants the Colossian church, and I as a pastor want you to be convinced of that. Before we get into any of the other corrective stuff or critical stuff or judgmental stuff, before we get there, I don't want you to lose the fact that here's the judgment to the positive. To the positive. And if we can keep these things in play, then it's great. My last challenge to you as you go through the rest of this week is to take time and look at the opening sentences, the opening paragraphs of all of Paul's letters, beginning with Ephesians, rereading Colossians, Philippians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy. Read the way in which Paul affirms and applauds the faith, the hope, the love of those Christians. And make the translation to yourself. Start every day. Live every day with the applause of heaven firmly resounding, loudly resounding in your hearing, your ears. Because the human soul is meant to hear the applause of heaven, the ovation of our God. Not just through the words of Scripture, but also, Christians, by the words that you speak to one another directly. Make sure you applaud one another. Amen? Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts, your minds in Christ Jesus, both now and forever.